Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. This story is, of course, one of the best known that we listen to. We hear it every pericope year. From a preaching point of view, I wish the story would change. Every once in a while, mix it up a little bit, maybe 8,000 people, I don't know. But it's an important story within the context of Jesus' ministry. Jesus has just found out that John the Baptist is in prison, that this death is happening, that this ending is nigh. And he goes away in grief to a deserted place. And he goes there to pray and to be by himself. And in typical gospel fashion, Jesus does not remain alone for very long. It says, and the people followed him on foot to that deserted place. And he had, it says, compassion on them. It's a beautiful word in Greek. It's splegna. It's this sort of this gut feeling for them, this connection with them. And he heals them and he preaches to them. And eventually feeds them all. It's easy to get hung up on the miracle itself. I remember in seminary spending a lot of time, not in class because the professors would have none of it, but at coffee and or beer afterwards, we would sit around and talk about the miracle. And you know, when you're new in seminary and you think you know everything, you've got to pick it all apart. Well, maybe this, maybe that. I'm sure there was some logical explanation for all of this happening. That there, you know, people brought food along with them and then produced it. You know, we want to make a logical reason for how this could possibly happen. Because we can't imagine it happening now. We're so caught up in our own sense of scarcity and fear that we can't imagine it happening now. There's an article recently in The Atlantic that talks about, from their perspective, why they think people in America have stopped going to church. And those articles always catch my notice, right? Because I'm sort of curious myself about that. And there's dozens and dozens of reasons and articles and theories about why people not only have stopped going to Christian churches, but also to synagogues and mosques and almost any organized sort of religious experience. What they talked about began to make sense to me, particularly in relationship to this story. They talked about our time during COVID, during the pandemic, particularly, that we found ourselves subjected to isolation in a constant state of fear and also a pretty good dose of hopelessness. And that part of what happened is that we became accustomed in our spiritual and personal and psychological lives to living in that space. That's our own deserted place. A desert of our own making in many ways. It's almost as if we didn't need Joseph's brothers to throw us into the pit. We just sort of jumped in. Or maybe if we were pushed in, it never occurred to us that there might be a reason to get out. Loneliness, fear, and disconnection have become the norm for us. And yet we are not only not happy, because happiness is overrated, but that we've lost each other in that desert. that struck a chord with me. Particularly as Jesus is gathering those people in the desert place, in that deserted place, that Eremos. And what does Jesus do with them? He gathers them back together. He pulls them together to become one body again. It harkens back to our first lesson for today, which is one of my favorite in all of Scripture, in 3rd Isaiah. You know, come. I like the old translation better, not because I'm old, but it's one of the few places in the Bible where someone says, ho! Ho! Y'all, why would you buy milk and honey that why would you pay for that when you can come and get it for free? A whole feast laid out for you at no cost. And of course, if you know Isaiah, the previous 53 chapters have been, y'all are terrible. Y'all deserve to be in the desert, and you should stay down there in the pit with Joseph because you have separated yourself from me. And then in 3rd Isaiah, it comes in and it says, look, but yet, through all of that deserted place where you have put yourself and where I have put you, God says, I have remained with you forever. I have never stopped loving you. It's not that the transgression didn't happen or that the break in the relationship didn't happen, that a kind of pandemic of idolatry and ignorance and just walking away from God. It's not like that didn't happen. It doesn't get erased. It's just that it doesn't matter to God. And that's grace. Our presiding bishop, Elizabeth Eaton, said something very interesting in her talk with us at the Rostrum Leaders Gathering. It's one that I'd heard before, but it's so fun when your bishop says it. Sounds more authoritative. She talked about the fact that she had this terrible concern that the evangelical right was preaching nothing but, look, you are all going to die if you don't turn to our particular kind of religion and love Jesus. And love Jesus only in a certain way. And if you happen to be gay or female or whatever it is that doesn't fit into our particular way of thinking about God, then you don't matter. She said, I have a terrible concern for that. It's all law and no grace. And then she hit all of us who were sitting there, who are mostly left-wing communists. And she said, I also have a concern about the other side. Because the other side preaches all grace, but no repentance. And I waited for it. So like, she's going to say something I'm not going to like. She said, the thing that we need to remember is that God absolutely loves us exactly how and for who we are in every moment. But don't ever mistake that God particularly likes us. And I thought, preach it, lady. Because she said, you know, the thing is, God loves us, but we are so broken and we break one another over and over again. We keep cleaving to the desert places apart from one another and pushing each other apart and away and defining who and how that person can be accessible to God without bothering to ask God about it. Fundamental mistake, by the way. So she said, we always need to remember that God absolutely, deeply loves us exactly for who we are, but God is always pulling us back into right relationship with God and one another. God doesn't want us to keep living as if we are in the desert forever. Just as God brought the people of Israel out from the desert into the promised land, as the people brought the people back from the exile in Babylon, and in Isaiah it's described as the return to the feast. Just as Jesus brings the 5,000 together in the desert place and feeds them with fish and bread and love, so God calls us back together to become the body of Christ and live for the sake of our neighbor. It's this beautiful and powerful theology that draws both on the grace and love of God and the need to be respectful and loving to both God and to one another. It's that push-me-pull-you of what it is in life, that we will never find the perfection sought by the evangelical right, and we should never become too comfortable with the grace of my people, the communist left. Because in the center is this Jesus, who calls us as God's own children, not to be perfect, but to be loved. Not to be in despair, but to find hope in the midst of our hurt. To not be apathetic, but to always be seeking the next adventure for what the Spirit is calling us to. To not push people away because they are either not like us, or they don't sound like us, or they don't have the same theology, or their cincture falls halfway down during the middle of the sermon. But to be drawn together in the one Christ. And it is there that we find the feast described in Isaiah. The feast of wine on the lees, of plentiful bread, of baskets full of brokenness, of broken shards of bread and leftover fish and wine. And you carry that broken shards out in the full baskets to the world. To be food for the world, to be love for the world, to be hope for the world. And it's in that way that we will begin to be the church again. Despite everything I read in the popular magazines these days, I am not convinced that the church is dead. I am convinced that Jesus and God are still at work in the world. We've just decided to stay in Joseph's pit a little too long. But some people will come, and they will pull us out, and we will once again be God's people. Not like we were before. Nothing like we were ever before. But we will go to the new feast that God has laid out before us, to be a new people, called, gathered, and enlightened in Jesus Christ. And in this, there is hope for the world. Amen. With the hymn of the day, you may rise if you prefer.